son boule qu'a boule pour bataille. Quitte mon désormais, c'est pas fait pour taille, c'est pour bataille.
WBAI New York. It's 10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. Coming up next is Ecologic with Donna Stein, Sally Gellert, and Ken Gale.
A parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed.
Solar power, ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Welcome. Glad you can join us for Ecologic. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for Wednesday, September 13th, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today we'll be talking with Ed Renahan about McCarthyism then and now, and his book, Pete Seeger versus the Un-Americans. We have part of an interview with Corrine Willinger, longtime activist, raging granny, and retired teacher, about her experiences with McCarthyism. We also report on a Louisiana judge's rejection of a nuclear waste storage permit, protection of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, lithium mining, and victories against New Jersey fossil fuel projects, and how the McCarthy blacklist led Pete Seeger to create Clearwater, one of the best environmental groups on the East Coast.
Good news from the Garden State. Empower New Jersey and its allies have won important victories against two of the seven dirty fossil fuel projects. The New Jersey Superior Court found that the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection should not have issued an exemption from the Highlands Act to Tennessee Gas Pipeline for its massive pipeline expansion project. This means it has no permit and work should stop immediately. Empower New Jersey has a letter writing campaign so that you can let Governor Murphy know what you think. Also, New Fortress Energy is planning to build a giant liquefied gas export terminal in Gibbstown, New Jersey, right on the Delaware River. In April, the Department of Transportation denied the firm a special permit to transport liquefied gas by rail. And just recently, the last administration's federal rule approving transport of liquefied natural gas, LNG, was suspended, another blow to the project. However, the LNG export terminal is not yet dead. The next steps are to permanently ban LNG transport by rail and to ensure that New Fortress Energy doesn't try to transport LNG by truck. For more information, go to www.empowernewjersey.com.
Here's another good news story, but with a warning for democracy. Judge Ho of the Fifth Circuit Federal Court in Louisiana ruled that Interim Storage Partners' license for Consolidated Interim Irradiated Fuel Storage, known as CIS, is vacated, annulled, canceled, does not exist, all gone from the decision. Texas is correct. The Atomic Energy Act does not confer on the commission the broad authority it claims to issue licenses for private parties to store spent nuclear fuel away from the reactor. And the Nuclear Waste Policy Act establishes a comprehensive statutory scheme for dealing with nuclear waste generated from commercial nuclear generation, thereby foreclosing the commission's claim of authority. Accordingly, we grant the petition for review and vacate the license.
Just wait. We should probably not be too quick to celebrate. This is the same legal interpretation that gave us the West Virginia versus EPA decision limiting that agency's authority to protect wetlands and waterways. Anti-nuclear activist and lawyer Nancy Van called it a dangerous policy that can cut both ways. She points out that with our current untethered Supreme Court, it will probably be used to do more harm than good.
Oh, boy. This week, the Biden administration canceled all remaining oil and gas leases in the Arctic Refuge and proposed protection for 13 million acres in the Western Arctic. With President Biden's strong support for the oil and gas industry, such as the Willow Project, and more leases in the Gulf of Mexico than Trump approved, I never thought he'd ever reject the oil and gas leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. Roads into the refuge to build the extractive machinery would have been destructive by themselves, and one oil spill would have destroyed a huge part of a fragile ecosystem. Those leases also showed presidential investment in fossil fuels. Just because Biden is a Democrat doesn't mean he is an environmentalist. I hate hearing people support his environmental record when he has approved more oil and gas leases than the last administration and has undone so few of their executive orders that destroyed clean air, clean water, forests, and wildlife. He has a long way to go.
As he will be clearly reminded by Sunday's march in fossil fuels. Switching to renewable energy as quickly as possible is important, but we must consider the problems that doing so can cause. Big green groups push electric vehicles as the major solution, not considering the materials cost of new vehicles, how to dispose of old vehicles, or the fossil fuel used to make electricity for electric vehicles. Almost nobody is addressing road congestion or concerns about lithium-ion batteries catching fire. From the Lakota People's Law Project, one would expect that mining technology has improved to minimize extractive projects' negative impacts on the earth, people, and our animal relatives. Unfortunately, this isn't so. The Thacker Pass mine is a perfect illustration to extract linoleum at open pit site. The mining company plans to pump the earth full of sulfuric acid, a process that leaches lithium out of clay and stone. Sulfuric acid is highly toxic to all living beings. To put its toxicity into perspective, even one teaspoon is fatal to humans. Even worse, the mining company was approved to build a sulfuric acid processing plant at Pihimuha, Thacker Pass, to convert molten sulfur into sulfuric acid. Molten sulfur is a principal waste byproduct of oil refining. Ironically, Lithium Nevada plans to transport hundreds of tons of molten sulfur acquired from oil refineries, with, you guessed it, trucks and trains powered by fossil fuels, to process sulfuric acid into sulfuric acid for its quote-unquote green energy use. Earlier this summer, just to the northeast in southern Montana, a freight train transporting molten sulfur derailed, falling into the Yellowstone River. If the Thacker Pass lithium mine and its sulfuric acid processing plant reach completion, these devastating incidents could increase in frequency.
Almost definitely.
Now we welcome our guest, Ed Renahan. Ed, please introduce yourself.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Ed Renahan here, old friend of Pete Seeger's, and author of, as you mentioned, Donna, Pete Seeger versus the Un-Americans.
And right after the November 2016 election, people started saying that the McCarthy era is back. I noticed that many of the people saying this were not alive in the 1950s. I knew people who had been, and politically aware as well. So I based an episode of Ecologic on that. Corinne Willinger was my main guest. She was a New York school teacher during the McCarthy era and a mother of two and a political activist. Here we are talking about the infamous Peekskill riot.
the entertainer who suffered the most was Paul Robeson.
Mm.
The famous time was Paul Robeson gave concerts. He was a wonderful singer, and he had a wonderful following.
Yeah, he sure did.
He was a wonderful actor. You know, he was very bright. He had everything going for him. But the things that he did not have going for him were two things. He was black, and he was a communist sympathizer. So that when he tried to have a concert, and this is the way he earned his living, in Peekskill, it was, I think, early 50s.
Oh, okay. So it was early 50s, okay.
Something. Yeah. Anyway, the town of Peekskill got up in arms, and he tried to have a concert there once, and they were able to close it down. So they got a second concert, which was a couple of weeks or months later. It's so long ago, I don't remember time that well. And the second concert, we were all prepared.
Oh, apparently 1949. I just went to the internet.
Right, 1949, right.
What I read about it, there was a book. It's sort of by Pete Seeger and not. Somebody took a whole bunch of things that he wrote for various publications and letters to people and turned it into a book. And he wrote extensively on the Peekskill riots because he was there.
There was a book. I don't know. I had it at one point.
And he talked about they built a stage. Now, Peekskill, New York, right? Right near where the Indian Point nuclear plant is.
Right.
And they built a stage. For this concert, they had the permission to have an outdoor concert there. And then a bunch of people broke it apart. They destroyed the stage. Well, Paul Robeson said he wasn't going to allow that to stop him. And they rebuilt the stage.
Oh, that's for the second.
And had the concert.
Yeah.
And so Paul Robeson sang, Pete Seeger sang, a few other people. And Pete talked about how as they were leaving the concert.
I was there.
Oh, you were there.
Yes, I was there.
So you were in a car?
I was there we went by bus.
By bus.
And we had the concert.
Yeah.
And what they had done was they organized beforehand. At that time, it was all men who, just to guard Robeson and to make sure that things were safe.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband was there. In fact, I had two husbands. They didn't know each other, but they were both there. And it was after the concert that we had a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Because the town stood, and it was amazing.
Yeah, Pete said the cops were complicit in all this, that they made the entire...
Yeah.
Everybody leaving the concert was made to go make a turn and go down the certain street where everybody was waiting for you guys,
right?
And throwing rocks.
Yep.
And P.C. said
we passed all that in the bus. I was in the.
Did they break the windows of the bus you were in?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were not only that, but the bus that I was in hit the driver.
No.
And we could not go. We were stuck on the road. Now, at that point, we were...
So you were in a bus, stuck on a road, with the driver being injured, and people throwing rocks at you.
No.
What a terrifying thing to experience.
Well, we just stayed in the bus until people went away. But, at this point, I don't remember how I got home. But I do remember after all the people were away, we got out of the bus and we went home.
And Pete saved two of the rocks that broke the windows in his car and cemented them into his fireplace.
Oh.
He saved them.
That I didn't know.
Oh, Ed, what did Pete Seeger have to say about the Peekskill riot?
He remembered it very much the same way. He learned later, he told me, that a lot of those cops were Klan members.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. And that had further organized, them against the concert goers. And he also remembered that Paul Robeson Jr., who was married to a white woman and was at the concert with his wife, damn near got lynched. I mean, some union guys had to come in and protect him because they were going to string him up. It's interesting to me, you know, years later, the Peekskill cops worked quite the other way, because I think it was in 1971 or 70, there was a Clearwater concert on the river in Peekskill, and Pete was there playing, and a bunch of protesters showed up, Commie Seeger, all this, and the cops had to make sure he got out of there safely.
Oh,
so that's ironic.
Yeah. Well, Clearwater success turned some minds around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those were ordinary people throwing those rocks. They were revved up to some sort of KKK-inspired anti-communist fever. The celebrity blacklist is probably the most famous aspect of the McCarthyism nowadays, but all Americans were living through that time. Corrine Willinger was a school teacher then, and Ken asked her about that, and he'll play that clip in a minute. Do you have anything, what else did Pete say about the ordinary person?
Pete always believed that, the ordinary person, if given correct information, mm-hmm. would behave, you know, conscientiously. But it's interesting because it relates today and all the fake news. If someone was painted as a villain in the media, like Robeson had been, people would think, oh, it's, you know, he must be awful, you know.
Without the firsthand experience, they'll take what the media says.
Yeah. And also, in addition to his political leanings, Robeson was also a very confrontational guy. He wasn't going to take any crap from anybody. People in his car at the first attempt to have the concert had to restrain him personally from getting out of the car and confronting the rioters.
Wow.
Okay. Pete remembered that. Pete recalled that. Because Robeson was an in-your-face kind of guy. You know, not long after this, when Robeson's passport had been revoked due to his political sympathies, he had wanted to go to Canada and perform a concert, and Canada denied him entry without a passport. And it was also basically a political decision, too, on the part of the Canadian authorities. So Robeson found a spot in upper New York, right on the Canadian border, right smack on the border. And they built a stage. He had a concert, and all the people from Canada came and listened.
Cool.
You know, that was Robeson.
Yeah, you know?
Wow. We have a firsthand comment from somebody who was there. We have a clip from Corrine Willinger. Here we are talking about the famous Peekskill riot.
And also, what it was like being a teacher.
Well, talk about what it was like being a teacher in those days.
No, actually, at that time, I was pregnant. This was after the Pete Seeger riot, but I left teaching for a while I had my child. While I was there, I mean, before that, I did have two FBI men knock at my door and asked my husband and I in a very friendly way if we would like to come down and talk to them. And, of course, we said, no, thank you. But it was very scary. And after he left, we took all our papers and tore them up and threw them down the toilet because, frankly, it was a very scary thing. I mean, they were...
Wow.
Had this false friendship, but we didn't really know what to do about it. Anyway, between that and all of this was going on, I sort of retreated. I mean, I stayed in touch and finding out all the news, but my activities, I withdrew. And I'm sorry that I did it at that, but at that time, it seemed like the best thing for me to do. I stayed active in politics, but and of course, in later years, during the Vietnam War, I became active again. However, I found it was a very scary era, and I think that unfortunately this was true in general. And one of the reasons that they're comparing it with this Trump era is the possibility that this whole thing can be repeated. There are differences because this Red Scare, they can't use that anymore. For years and years, it was, you have to be careful. They're trying to do this, of course, with the Russian stuff now.
Well, but it's almost the opposite. You know, I mean, people who have spent so much of their life being against those commie Russians are suddenly voting for somebody who is being supported by those very same commie Russians. It must drive them crazy.
Right. But it also makes me very suspicious of what's going on there, because the media went along with the whole anti-communist scare.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And worked up everybody so that you could have people in the streets, like in Peekskill, throwing rocks at you because they suspected you were a communist. Whether you were or not, nobody stopped to ask, but because you liked Paul Robeson, they threw rocks at you. And the media is now, makes me very suspicious.
Yeah. Yeah, and Pete Steger said the KKK of Peekskill was very active and very involved because Paul Robeson was black and a communist sympathizer. And the other interesting aspect of that whole thing was comparing it to the Reagan days, because there was an awful lot of anti-communist hysteria being drummed up when Reagan was president.
Yeah.
You know, right? And before the fall of the Berlin Wall. And I'm just wondering, how did you compare the Reagan days of anti-communism with the McCarthy days of anti-communism?
There wasn't this with Reagan.
Yeah.
I think by that time, people had wised up. Because, of course, Reagan took the credit of defeating the Soviet Union and the communists. And he was very anti-communist, but the scare wasn't there anymore. And, of course, he got accused of other things.
So, hey, Ed, what came to mind when you heard Corrine?
It was interesting when she was saying that, you know, just by going to a concert, you could get labeled as a communist or so. Because I remember Pete saying once that period was the age of innuendo. And I remember him commenting also that that was when they started to know, back then, when they started to realize that they were being watched and started to assume that their phone was tapped. And it's interesting because years later, you know, about 10 years ago, a reporter from Mother Jones did a Freedom of Information request and got all the FBI files on Seeger for all those years, and they couldn't be more boring. You know, it's like Seeger was spotted at the Beacon, New York post office.
Oh, no, mailing a letter.
Well, excuse us, Ed, we need to take a short break. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. We'll be right back with our guest, Ed Renahan, more on McCarthyism's effect on ordinary people and the story of how the McCarthy blacklist led Pete Seeger to create Clearwater, one of the best environmental groups on the East Coast. But something all producers need to do is raise money to keep WBAI on the air to ensure that the bills get paid and the transmission tower keeps transmitting. Independent media is at a crossroads, and to survive and thrive, it needs people power. With activism, we're usually talking about your time. It is so important to show up at events such as this Sunday's march, to sign petitions, and to write to electeds. But activism with people's media needs support in terms of your donated dollars. Yes, you have heard it before, and thanks to you and your fellow members who care about free speech, we have eked out enough to keep this station on the air. Well, we still need you to continue helping keep us on the air. The bills don't stop. The best way WBAI has found to reliably know that the bills will get paid is to get more BAI buddy pledges. But any donation, any time helps us in a big way. Remember, tell them you're donating in the name of Ecologic. You can have more than one BAI buddy pledge, by the way. So maybe $10 for Ecologic and $10 a month for another wonderful show. That way, we and the station know we have friends.
Years ago, Ken,
before we joined Ken on the show, Sally and I joined Ken on the show. Ken went to a meeting of one of New York City's largest environmental groups and was introduced as the host of Ecologic. Ken, are you there?
Yeah.
You want to tell us about that?
Yeah. After the meeting, people came over to tell me how much they loved the show. Two people said they especially liked how positive and optimistic Ecologic is. I didn't know how to react. And they continued by defining what they meant by optimism. On Ecologic, we always give solutions to any problem we raise. And they love that about Ecologic, and I love their definition of optimism. I looked around, and everyone who had come over to me was nodding their heads. I just thought it was the right way to discuss an issue, and Ecologic has been hitting the optimism chord ever since.
We have a special premium for today's show. Ed Renahan's book, Pete Seeger versus the Un-Americans. It has lots more about HUAC, the House Un-American Activities Committee, and Pete's testimony. He did not take the fifth, nor would he name names, as did Ilya Kazan and others. You'll want to have a copy of this book for your own. And to get it, you can go to ecologic.wbai.org and make a donation of $45. We'll be glad to send you a copy. This is, and it includes your membership to WBAI. Call 212-209-2950.
There is no other station like WBAI. We have longer, more in-depth interviews than almost all mainstream programs. We're free speech radio. We don't bend to corporate advertisers at BAI or at any other Pacifica station, as our funds come from listeners like you. We support every environmental issue, so a donation to us is like supporting many groups. Ecologic brings you actions you can take, letters, emails, petitions, rallies, marches, direct actions, concerts, webinars, conferences, lobbying efforts. It's all important. Your donations help us to help community groups get the word out.
Some of you are returning listeners. Welcome back. We often hear from people who rediscovered BAI. They appreciate our independence and the news, information, and entertainment that is so different from corporate media. We have such a great history and a great future. Help ensure that when you tune in next, we are here for you. Please support us with a donation today to let us know that you're listening. No amount is too small or too big. To contribute by mail, or you can contribute by mail, or you can call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
Did you become a BAI member by June 30th? If so, you have voted. You can vote in the current election. Have you voted in it yet? You can do so until the end of the month, and we need all our eligible members to participate. It is very important that we get a quorum. You should have gotten your ballot by email from invitations@mail.electionbuddy.com. Reminders go out every Tuesday. Voting now is as important as saving the station, as we're all in the back in October 2019 when the station was shut down without notice by a rogue faction of Pacifica. There is voting almost every year, so becoming a member is always a good thing. Please send in your $25. This is really your radio station.
You who listen to WBAI have access to information that your friends and family who don't listen don't have. You hear experts they don't hear. You have facts they don't have. You know about events they don't know about. This is your station, your programming. Be part of it, and please show your love by donating in the name of EcoLogic. Go to the WBAI archives and listen to an episode of EcoLogic that you missed or want to hear again. www.ecoradio.org has a list of the last 3 years of EcoLogic and direct links to hear them.
There is more to what Pete Seeger went through during the McCarthy era than we can possibly fit into a one-hour show. It takes an entire book. Luckily for you, there is such a book. Ed Renahan wrote it, and you can get it for yourself as our gift for your $45 donation to WBAI. Go to ecologic.wbai.org.
I recently got another email offering pricey environmental webinars. I looked at their list and realized that EcoLogic has done shows on all of those topics, usually with better experts. We don't charge per show. This is broadcast radio. You only have to tune in. We're always here for you. So, how do EcoLogic and WBAI and Pacifica pay our bills? With your help. Membership in WBAI is a fraction of what even one of those webinars charge. Pacifica started listener-supported radio in 1949, right at the beginning of the McCarthy era. Ed's book, Pete Seeger versus the Un-Americans, has lots of firsthand stories about that. People said Lou Hill was crazy to not have commercials and ask people to pay for what they could get for free. But he was right in 1949, and he's right in 2023. No advertising means free speech. But transmitters and engineers do have costs. Your donation of $45 for Pete Seeger versus the Un-Americans helps pay those bills and gives you lots of information.
When you choose to become our EcoLogic BI buddy, you're giving us the reliable source of support that we very much need and can depend upon, just as you can depend upon WBAI. Paying just $10 or $15 a month, more would be even more helpful to the station that's important to you. You get not only 4 EcoLogic programs, but also more than 700 hours of programming each month from which to choose. How much time do you spend listening to WBAI each month? Do you listen every day, several times a week, to your favorite shows? We're grateful that you choose to spend your time with BAI. If you listen just an hour a day, that's only 50 cents a program. Where else can you find that much value? Lots of EIPM, that's environmental information per minute and per dollar. You decide on an amount that's right for you to donate each month, and you'll be helping the radio station survive these troubled times with sustainable stream of support. Join us as an EcoLogic BI buddy at give2wbi.org or calling 212-209-2950.
Becoming a BAI buddy makes it easy for you to support your radio station and is a convenient and budget-friendly way to give. Renewals are automatic, but you can change your donation amount at any time you want. Call 212-209-2950 and say you want a BAI buddy for any amount and that you want to do it in the name of EcoLogic. Or all BAI shows. In just a few minutes, you'll let us know that you value the independent, progressive news, information, and entertainment.
You'll be proud to be doing your part to keep BAI on the air, serving our communities. You can also visit WBAI.org and click the green BAI Buddy sign with the peace dove and sign up through our safe, friendly portal with thanks from us and EcoLogic and WBAI.
We'd like to thank all of you who joined WBAI with your membership gifts, especially our BAI buddies who have made the commitment to give an amount they choose each month. If that's not you, we invite you to join our BAI Buddies today by calling 212-209-2950 and clicking, or you can go to our website and click the BAI Buddy sign.
If you want, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
Ed Brenahan has been a great guest, and his book, Pete Seeger versus the Un-Americans, is just as great. So call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org to donate $45 for your copy or browse through our other premiums. We even have a DVD of the Raging Grannies, who you heard here last week, with Pete Seeger at Clearwater. Corinne wrote some of those songs. It's yours for a donation of just $40. Either of these also makes you a voting member of WBAI. Many people find it easier to budget a small recurring donation, so please consider that. We'd love to have you as an Ecologic BAI buddy. $10 or $15 each month really helps the station plan for paying its monthly bills.
Pete Seeger introduces his own song. There's no need for us to do that. Let's listen to Pete.
Last summer, some people asked me if I knew a certain song, and they made out like it was a terrible song, some real awful about this song. And I offered to sing it for them and said, no, we don't want you to sing it. But I figured, you know, you're a captive audience here, that I would sing it for you. Because it tells, adds up pretty much what I think of all the songs we sang. Our fathers bled at Valley Forge. The snow was red with blood, their faith was won. At Valley Forge, their faith was brotherhood. Isn't that a time? Wasn't that a time? Wasn't that a time? A time to try. And died at Gettysburg, and lying soldiers' graves, but there they stand, the slavery tide, and there the faith was saved. Wasn't that a time? Wasn't that a time? A time to try. The soul of man, wasn't that a terrible time? Fascists came with chains and war to prison us in hate, and many a good man fought and died to save the stricken faith. Wasn't that a time? Wasn't that a time? A time to try. Now again the madmen come, and shall our victory fail? There is no victory in a land where free men go to jail. Isn't this a time? Isn't this a time? A time to try. The soul of man, isn't this a terrible time? Faith cries out, they shall not pass. We cry, no passer on. We pledge our lives, our honor all to free our native land. Isn't this a time? Isn't this a time? A time to free. The soul of man is the soul of wonderful. Isn't this a time to pray? The soul of man, this summer, isn't this so wonderful time?
That was Pete Seeger singing Wasn't That a Time?
You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. We're back with Ed Renahan. Ed, your book includes Pete Seeger's masterful testimony to HUAC, the House Un-American Activities Committee. That really showed Pete's wisdom, clarity, and insights into the thought processes of the committee. Ed, what more did he share with you about that?
He told me he had rather carefully prepared that statement, for starters. And also in the introduction to Wasn't That a Time, to the song that we just listened to, what he was referring to was his House American Un-American Activities Committee testimony or lack thereof. That's when he offered to sing the song and when they said, no, we don't want to hear. which he expected. He told me, he said he knew they weren't going to let him sing the song, you know, but he wanted to make the point, you know, you talk about freedom of speech, you know, no, don't sing the song, you know. And he said in his statements, you know, he said, you know, do I have a right to sing this song? Do I have a right to sing any song at all? Hmm. You know, and it was basically, you know, and that's why he didn't take the Fifth Amendment. He took the First Amendment in refusing to testify on the basis of freedom of speech and association. Which was a very dangerous thing to do. You know, all the very noble people who took the Fifth Amendment and wouldn't name names, they stayed blacklisted, but they didn't risk jail. The people who Pete, the Hollywood 10, what's his name, the playwright who was married to Marilyn Monroe, took the First Amendment and were subject to prosecution.
I'm so glad that you put Pete's testimony in your book, because really it's a joy to read nowadays. It may not have been so much fun back then, but reading it now and watching the way Pete thought and how he dealt with those folks was brilliant. Yeah, I already admired him when I read the testimony, and then I ended up admiring him more.
You know, Pete recognized that didn't stop, you know, with the 50s. You know, it didn't stop with the 60s. He and Natalie Maines from the Dixie Chicks became quite good friends. You know, you remember, we all remember what happened to the Dixie Chicks when Natalie said, we're ashamed that George Bush is from Texas. You know, all hell broke loose, you know.
In other words, the McCarthy era didn't stop with, you know, the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution specifically mentions freedom of association. McCarthyism was literally rejecting that aspect of the Constitution.
An amendment to the Constitution, the first amendment, the first thing they did.
Yeah.
Number one.
Association, press, you know, all that.
Yeah. You know, and one listener wrote to us when she found out the show we're doing and said, I hear people say on public discourse that the U.S. Constitution, including the Bill of Rights, is archaic. I am shocked. The freedoms we have are based on the U.S. Constitution. Despotic regimes either ignore their version of a constitution or don't even have one. Many of us have been to rallies and seen infiltrators. Now people are so cemented in their beliefs, they refuse to look at both sides of an issue. Anyone who disagrees is labeled.
Right.
Censorship is antagonistic to democracy and is a violation of the First Amendment. I'm a coward in a way. I'm afraid to speak out. I do not like being ridiculed, dismissed, or even treated in a hostile faction. I realize I cannot be that way anymore. And thank you for your email.
Yes, we all have to speak out. Ed, do you have a couple of thoughts?
WBAI throughout its existence has been a testament to the First Amendment and the freedom of speech. You know, this very platform that we're on right now. And that's why people should give money.
Thank you.
Yeah, McCarthyism was just the kind of dismissiveness, censorship, and fear that our listener was talking about. We need to ensure that we resist any temptation to avoid controversy by shutting down opinions we don't like. And you see, WBAI has been airing unpopular views and the words and music of those without the ability to get on mainstream media for decades, 63 mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. With your help and that of all of our listeners, including members voting in the election that's happening through September 30th, we can continue for another 63 years as a radical voice to counter the establishment spin.
And I must say, Pete said back in the day, when BAI was founded in 1949, something like mm-hmm. that? Well,
Pacifica founded in 1949. BAI became part of Pacifica January 1960.
Okay. But Pete said, you know, Pete was still dealing with the media blacklist in 1960.
Yeah.
And he told me that BAI was one of the few places where he could go and be on. And also, I remember Toshi and Pete frequently listening to BAI. I think some friends of theirs back in the 70s had programs and they would listen to them.
Another McCarthy era story. New Jersey activist Paula Rogovin's optometrist father had a run-in with McCarthyism after being caught feeding black kids breakfast in Buffalo, the horrors. Dr. Rogovin was called a communist and not allowed to help people see better. As a result, times were rough for a while. But eventually, thanks to Pete Seeger, he became a photographer to the stars. So it worked out in the end after a few completely unnecessary years of hell.
And that really shows the racism of the McCarthy era, when feeding black kids breakfast makes you a communist.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. that was one of the labels floating around back then. If you were for civil rights for blacks, you were a communist.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Ed, let's share that story about how the blacklist led Pete Seeger to create their wonderful environmental group, Hudson River Still Clear Water.
Okay, great. Well, back when it was still the heyday, and back when Pete was still had a hard time finding work and could only really perform in progressive liberal environments, let's say, he had a small concert at a venue in Provincetown, Massachusetts, one summer. I think it was the summer of 1961. And after the concert, Lillian Hellman, the playwright, hosted a party for Pete at her summer home in Provincetown. And there was a young man at the party, and Pete was talking to him, and the young man was a very avid sailor, as a lot of people are in Provincetown. And the guy asked Pete if he liked to sail, and Pete said, I've never sailed. And the young man said, well, you know, I'm going out tomorrow morning if you want to come, you know, see what it's like. And that turned Pete on to sailing. He really got, you know, addicted to it. And he bought himself a little used, you know, small 20-foot something or other that he kept there on the Hudson River near his house. And he'd go out. And that's when he became aware, you know, of, you know, all of the garbage floating in the river. He hadn't even thought about, you know, he wasn't like so many people. He wasn't environmentally aware. He was, you know, he was fighting other battles. But this made it dawn on him that this was another battle that had to be waged. And eventually that led him to create the Clearwater, combining sailing and history and environmental activism.
Well, before we end this show, here is Corinne Willinger telling us how the McCarthy era ended.
There was a judge that, as I remember it, who at one point called down McCarthy. And I don't remember the quote, but everybody was quoting him at the time, the judge, because he had the nerve to tell McCarthy that to more or less cool it or shut up or whatever. And I think that was the beginning of a calmer period. And gradually, the people who had lost their jobs in Hollywood, they never got their jobs back, but a number of them started writing under assumed names, a number of the Hollywood writers.
Oh, like the movie The Front, the Woody Allen movie.
Yeah, oh.
So that was real. That really happened.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So they just, well, yeah, I guess, you know, nobody knows what a writer looks like, so you just put down any name you need to put down. So the writers got work, but the actors never recovered.
Well, I'm sorry. A lot of them did. Howard Da Silva, who was a great friend of Pete and Toshi's, lived in Ossining. He had been the bartender in Lost Weekend with Ray Milland, and, you know, did lots of early movies, gangster movies with Bogart. Got blacklisted, and then was selling used cars for 5 or 6 years, and then started to get work again. Right. Yes, so a fair number of people got back on their feet.
Yeah, it took a while.
I hate to say it, but it's time to wrap up. This time goes so fast. So thanks for joining us with Corinne Willinger and Ed Renahan. For more information, go to illummedia.net. That's illume media.net. We have lots of links to more information on our website, ecoradio.org. That's ecoradio.org. We also have an archive of our past shows.
We love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. We're at WBAI Ecologic, no dashes.
To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums at ecologic.wbai.org, ecologic.wbai.org. Become a member, or what is most helpful and easier for you to budget, contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy. Call 212-209-2950. We'd love to see those Ecologic buddy pledges.
And pledging as a BAI buddy now during the show really helps Ecologic especially. We are always glad to have you with us for Ecologic Live or on the archives. If you listen live, we may be able to take your call and answer your question.
This show will be on the WBAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes. Our thanks to our engineer, Michael G. Haskins. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next week, Wednesday, September 20th at 10 a.m. for Right to Repair. Check our website for details. Thanks, Ed, and thanks, everybody, for being our listeners.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
Solar power, inexpensive energy.
Hey, this is Chaka Khan, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
WBAI accepts snowmobiles. If you have a snowmobile, we want it. We also want any extra cars, trucks, SUVs, RVs, boats, and more. Any reason is a good reason to give a vehicle to WBAI. Some do it to avoid the hassles of selling. Some like to skip the costs of repairing, while others just enjoy the good feelings of giving back to their community. But no matter your reason, donating a vehicle to WBAI is a great idea. And it's easy. Here's how it works. Simply call 866-WBAI-CAR. That's 866-922-4227. Or give online at WBAI.org/donate-your-car. Our vehicle donor support team will arrange your free pickup. When the driver arrives to tow away your great gift, you'll receive a donation receipt. Vehicle donations have the potential to drive hundreds and sometimes even thousands of dollars to WBAI. Call 866-WBAI-CAR or visit WBAI.org/donate-your-car.
WBAI New York at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Coming up in just a couple of minutes will be Living for the City.